Thinking about joining us in Indianapolis for the Gospel Coalition's 2024 Women's Conference? The regular rate price of $239 goes up to $259 on May 8th. This is your final chance to save on your registration. Join us June 20th through the 22nd to feast together on the words of Jesus with keynote messages from Jen Wilkin, Melissa Kruger, David Platt, and more, and featuring worship music led by Shane and Shane. Sign up before the price increases on May 8th at tgcw24.org. Welcome back to TGC Q&A, a podcast from the Gospel Coalition, where each week you'll hear conversations between members of our council and friends who provide their unique perspective on your most pressing spiritual questions. On today's episode, Derek Wishmowy and Cameron Cole discuss the question, how do youth leaders disciple a media-formed generation? Let's listen in.
One of the other challenges with evangelism with this age is the fact that we're not the only one sharing a message, right? We're probably the quietest voice in a lot of ways, with students being broadly catechized, broadly inundated with social media, with cultural, you know, pathways that they're just bombarded from every single direction, chiefly from their phone. So the question is, you get them maybe an hour a week, you get them maybe in a conversation too. How does the church, how do leaders counteract or interact with that counter catechesis?
Yeah, I think this is really important. And, you know, I've heard both Alan Jacobs and Tim Keller both talk about this in the past 6 months. And yet we need to understand that, you know, there is a very deliberate effort to indoctrinate our kids, you know, into a worldview other than Christianity. Mm-hmm. Chiefly that intentional effort is driven by the spiritual forces of darkness.
Yeah.
And it plays itself out here in the earthly realm in different ways. But, you know, Sandy Wilson, I heard him say one time in a seminary class, he said, you need to preach as if you have enemies. And I think we use that language, enemies, you know, that can sometimes have connotations of hostility or aggression. I'm not saying that at all, because, you know, we always want to operate with a calm and kind tone. And at the same time, it is important for us to deconstruct the arguments of the world around us.
Mm.
You know, I think with this conversation on gender, I'm not afraid to you know, talk to my kids about what is the narrative, and what is the philosophical basis of the argument for gender being something that's fluid. And I'm just going to say, it is an intellectually empty argument.
Mm-hmm.
It is intellectually inadequate, and it is nonsensical. It's not rational. And I think it's important for us to work through, okay, you've heard that, you know, gender is actually something that is fluid, that's, you know, individually determined. Well, what's the basis of that? You know, so you've been called a school, you're being called a bigot at school for saying that you believe in binary gender. Well, let's talk about what are the arguments behind that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Christianity is rational.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously it's a supernatural thing, and there's an element of faith, but at the same time, Christianity has a cohesive worldview to offer a person to understand life and understand existence.
Mm-hmm. Connected to that, the other side, I'm going to pull the other side, because, you know, you mentioned the spiritual forces, and I've been having conversations recently about this. Preach like you have enemies, intellectual ones, tearing down arguments, like Paul says, that set themselves up against the glory of God. And hey, we also know that Paul was a man who was down on his knees praying all the time, preaching with authority, rebuking unclean spirits, as did his master, the Son of God. And we need to be aware that the battle, you know, part of the battle, yeah, intellectual, rational apologetics, preach hard. And at the same time, before you get up there and preach, before you go sit there with a kid and talk to him, praying powerfully against the evil one, his schemes, his enemies, who has blinded the minds of unbelievers, and realizing that our battle is not against flesh and blood,
right,
but against principalities and powers, and actually take the spiritual, I mean, this is not where I thought I was going to go on this evangelism thing, but actually, honest to God, realize that we do have a roaring lion enemy coming against us and against these students' hearts and their minds, and it's wicked, and they're trying to tear them up in, you know, through ideologies, through anxieties, through technologies, through all these things that maybe initially seem neutral, but are being used to malign purposes. And just realize also, not out of fear, but just in confidence, that actually one of the things that Jesus did was bind the devil. He conquered in the cross. We have that authority in Christ. The gospel does set free and liberate, but we need to lean in to that in embracing that. And remember, I think of the disciples and their encounter with the demoniac when the demon-possessed child who was being thrown, and his father was asking the disciples to heal him, to cast out that demon. And, you know, Jesus comes down off the mountain and they're like, we can't deal with this. It's too strong. Why couldn't we get rid of him? And he says, this one only comes out with prayer.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think as we talk about this, you know, counter catechesis here, I think this is really something that's critically important for parents.
Yes.
You know, because the reality is that kids swim in a world of messages. I mean, the number of messages and advertisements that they are told and sold on any given day is just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And so if you're a pastor or a youth pastor, I mean, there are certain things that you can do. But you have a very limited amount of time around your kids.
It's the parents.
And so a parent has to really train their kids, you know, when they're watching TV, to just ask questions, you mm-hmm. know, to ask, what are they saying here? Like, what's the implication of that politician's stance? What is the implication of that advertisement? You know, the Diet Coke question, the Diet Coke commercial where the girl's walking around and she's being all cool and she's having fun. Like, hey, you do you, right? It's like, hey, let's talk about that. Let's talk about a world where you do you. Everybody does what they see as fit in their own eyes. Like, what does that lead to, Johnny? What does that lead to, Sally? You know, yes, it's a Diet Coke commercial and she's all cool and, you know, carefree, blah, blah, blah. But let's get below the worldview that she's espousing and look at the chaos and the damage that is actually inherent in a you-do-you worldview.
Coke's advertising the Book of Judges right there. but that element of the counter-catechesis, we're thinking about youth pastors and all that, but it's really one of the main jobs, I think, of youth ministers is really just equipping the parents to be the discerning, loving gateways and disciplers of their children.
Absolutely. And the last thing I will say is that, you know, for parents, you can't just play defense these days.
Yeah.
You can't just, you know, think, okay, we're going to set up the boundaries on the internet and we're going to only watch certain things and da, da, da. Like, yes, you do want to play defense. That's really, really important. But you've got to play offense, too. You've got to train your child how to engage these things. You can't just hide because there's no way to escape it. And so we need to equip kids to be able to deconstruct the ideas around them and to filter them through God's truth and Scripture.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of TGC Q&A. To submit a question that you would like to hear answered on this podcast, send us an email at ask@tgc.org. And remember to subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening to today's episode of TGC Q&A.